I'm Darren Copeland. Emergency workers are getting some newfound respect from people who rely on them for safety during terrorist attacks. People in Seattle have been watching emergency crews at work during a five-day anti-terror drill. Resident Harold Webb, who watched events unfold during the exercise, says he never realized just how much work goes into saving lives.
They have to perform their jobs, and that's why they're the heroes of the United States. So, yeah, watching them do their thing and have an opportunity to practice is a great opportunity.
Fire and police personnel in New York found out shortly after the 9/11 attacks that residents in the city had newfound respect for them. The mock anti-terrorist drill is also taking place in Chicago. The latest U.S.-led Middle East peace effort has hit a stumbling block. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says he will not hold talks with Palestinian leaders on the dismantling of Jewish settlements in the foreseeable future. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Javier Solana, who has been holding meetings in Jordan, says Israelis and Palestinians should work hard to reach agreement.
Very few initiatives of peace that exist at this moment have such a broad support. The international community, in the Arab countries in particular, are behind it all. Therefore, we have to make all the efforts to get the implementation of the roadmap. The sooner, the better.
The hardline stance of Israel comes despite calls from Secretary of State Colin Powell for conciliatory gestures on both sides during talks on the roadmap peace plan for the region.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
General Motors Corporation says it's addressing rollover concerns in its 15-passenger vans. GM says it will install vehicle stability enhancement systems, which use sensors to detect wheel skid and apply brakes to maintain control, as standard equipment in its upcoming 2004 model year. Last November, U.S. safety investigators urged GM and Ford Motor Company to improve the safety of the vans. Studies show large vans are involved in more single-vehicle crashes than any other passenger vehicle. A new ad campaign aimed at raising funds for the proposed National Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. is underway. The King Foundation hopes to raise about $60 million so they can break ground on 4 acres of land sometime this November. The monument would be the first in tribute to an African American on the mall. It would be built on the site where visitors come to look at the cherry blossoms often in bloom on April 4th, the date in 1968 when King was assassinated.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
NATO's Secretary General has hailed the success of the Russian NATO Council a year after the body was established. George Robertson said important practical results had been achieved since its agenda was drawn up in Rome in May 2002, and he says the Council is more important today than ever.
The creation of the NATO-Russia Council was in itself a historic step, and it was a step taken not out of charity or political gamesmanship, but out of a sense of need and of urgency.
Robertson says Moscow and the Atlantic Alliance had cooperated in peacekeeping operations, fighting terrorism, and evaluating the threat from weapons of mass destruction. The terrorist attacks in Saudi Arabia helped to send stocks lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 48 points to 86.79. The Nasdaq slid 2 points to 1540. And the S&P 500 declined 3 points to 942. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, sorry about that. If you're listening very closely, I always forget when the microphone is open. Not always, but forget when the microphone is open. I'm sitting here clearing my throat. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. A program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. And if, however you're joining us via Sirius Satellite Channel 145 or radiopower.org, or if it's tomorrow and you're joining us via WhiteRoseSociety.org, welcome aboard, plus the radio stations that carry the program. Thanks for being here. We're at 800-TALK-YES. That's 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. My senior correspondent, Chris, out in Minnesota, sent me the story, a couple of weeks ago. And it went into the stack, and we didn't get to it, but now there's a follow-up, so I guess there's time to get to it. The original story comes from, is it Bear, Vermont, B-A-R-R-E? Do you pronounce that, Kathy? You have the college education, not I. Is it Bar, Vermont? Let's call it Bar until I get 17 emails correcting. From Bar, Vermont, in that town, a uniformed police officer bulled his way into a school there after hours. He, depending on who you want to believe, he either persuaded a custodian to open the school in the middle of the night, or he just pried the lock open. But he went in so he could photograph, with his own little brownie Hawkeye, class projects that he found objectionable as an American and as a military veteran. The projects that this Bar town police officer, John Mott, that's his name, remember that name, Mott. The projects that he photographed included a poster of Too Stupid to Be President with duct tape over his mouth, and a large papier-mâché combat boot with the American flag stuffed inside, and the boot was stepping on a doll. Mott, the cop, who says he convinced Barry, it's pronounced Barry, Vermont. Okay, well, see, I told you. Whoever called that in, thank you. Mott, who claims he convinced a custodian to unlock the classroom door, said, "I wanted everybody else to see what was in that room." Now, he was on duty at the time, And that's against police department ethics or rules, and it's also against the law, but never mind. He was on duty at the time, but Mott maintains he was on a break, so it didn't count. See, when he's on a break, doesn't count. If he's on a break and somebody runs by screaming rape, he'll just look up and go, oh, really? Well, I'm on a break, apparently. Mott says, I'm just taking a stand on what happened in that classroom. As a resident and a voter and a taxpayer of this community, you would think there was what? An evisceration in there? Somebody had their the gut cut open and the teacher said, now this is the intestine. No. There was an art project. There was a art slash history, not art history, but art slash history project, whatever you want to call it. The superintendent of the school district says she's concerned that Officer Mott used his uniform to jam his way into this locked classroom without supervision. The superintendent wrote to the police chief, I find this behavior, at the very least, in violation of our policy for visitors at the school. I also find it disturbing that a police officer would wear his uniform under such circumstances, thereby intimidating our employee into letting him into the building at a very unusual hour. Now, Officer Mott has refused orders from the Barry Town police chief and the Barry Town manager to supply school officials with copies of the photographs that he took. Officer Barry said, I'm going to an attorney first. Well, he didn't just go to an attorney. He went to the pig man, Rush Limbaugh. That'll come up in a second in the story. Now, that's the original story that my senior correspondent has sent me, and we put on the pile. So here's an update, a follow-up. The teacher's name is Tom Treese. He gives a course at Spalding High School in Barrie, Vermont, called Public Issues. Right now, Teacher Treese is embroiled in a public issue himself because of that police officer, Mott, who busted into his classroom to take photographs of student artwork. Okay? Now, once again, just to recap, in case you weren't here 90 seconds ago, the police officer, John Mott, went into the class at 1:30 in the morning. He told the newspaper in Barrie, which broke the story on May 5th, that I entered the school through an unlocked maintenance door. Now, of course, that's a lie. The school superintendent and the custodian say that's a lie. He banged on the front door of the school until the custodian woke up.
What?
Let me in! I'm the law! In any event, whoever you want to believe here, you can believe the cop, the superintendent, the custodian, or none of the above. But in any event, he got the custodian, once he was inside the high school, to unlock the teacher's classroom. And he took pictures of the student project that, as I mentioned, showed Bush with duct tape over his mouth and the words, put your duct tape to good use. Shut your mouth. That was the caption. Now, the school teacher said this project was part of an assignment for a unit he was teaching on Iraq. The assignment had three parts. Part one was to participate in a debate on whether or not we should invade Iraq. You know, contrary to what the Bush crime family has been telling America, there was some debate. There was a question, wasn't there? It's gone now, but there was a question. The second part of the project was to write a paper defending your perspective on the issue. Yes, I want to invade Iraq. Okay, write a paper about it. No, I don't want to invade. Okay, write a paper about it. Now, that sounds like the sort of atmosphere and attitude that you would find in a high school. I certainly, if I still had high school students, I would like a teacher like that teaching my children, right? Wouldn't you? Part three of the project was to make a poster illustrating your point of view, whatever it was. I love George Bush and I want to kill Iraqis. I hate George Bush and I don't want to kill Iraqi. Whatever your point of view, defend it and make a poster about it. Now, six of the students put together the offending poster, the one that caused the cop to engage in breaking and entering. Eh? Now, the cop, who did not return phone calls to the Progressive magazine, who has written an article about this, The cop told the Times Argus, the newspaper,
I wanted everybody else to see what was in that room. I was offended as an American retired military man. Having spent 30 years in uniform, I was insulted. I'm just taking a stand on what happens in that classroom as a resident and a voter and a taxpayer and somebody that thinks George Bush... Well, never mind that last part.
Now, the cop, incidentally, used to work at the high school as a junior ROTC officer. You knew that was coming, didn't you?
The superintendent is not happy that Mott entered the school during off hours to further his own political agenda.
So, like I said a moment ago, she wrote a letter to the police chief and said, you know, this sucks. This is really sucky behavior. She wrote, I find it disturbing that a police officer would wear his uniform under such circumstances, thereby intimidating our employee and let him in the building at a very unusual hour. I question the intent of his visit. Why could he have not come during regular school hours? Huh? Please look into this matter and determine if any ethical or legal guidelines were breached. And according to the school superintendent, the police chief responded by telling her, okay, I'll handle it administratively. Here's the pig man, Rush Limbaugh part.
On his radio show, Rush Limbaugh called Officer Mott a hero. And Limbaugh posted the student's artwork on the Limbaugh webpage.
The superintendent is not happy about that little action by the pig man. She said these kids didn't turn these projects in with any understanding that they would end up on Rush Limbaugh's website. Their parents feel very violated and angry, said the superintendent. Well, Madam Superintendent, you know, whatever the parents feel or the students feel or anybody feels, forget about it. You know, this is Rush Limbaugh. This is the pig man. This is the king of American talk radio. He can do whatever he damn well pleases. If it means posting a child's artwork on his filthy website, so be it. Now, according to the local newspaper in Barrie, Vermont, Officer Mott refused orders from Barrytown Police Chief Michael Stevens and Town Manager Carl Rogers to supply school officials with copies of the photographs. But the school superintendent says she does not want the police department to pursue charges against Officer Mott. She says there's a huge bonfire here already burning. I don't want to throw gasoline on it. Now, the student artwork is just part of the bonfire that the superintendent is referring to because school teacher Treese got heat for something he posted about the Iraq War. And now both the controversies, what the schoolteacher posted and his project for his students, both have become embroiled in the local school budget that is up for a vote. You see, in this particular town, the citizenry votes, I believe, every year on, you know, what the school budget is going to be. And so, right, you're way ahead of me on this one.
The school superintendent says, after 911, we put up this dialogue board where teachers and students are allowed to put up their written opinions on various issues.
The postings on this website had to be signed and dated and could not be vulgar, according to the superintendent. School teacher Treese used the board, as did other teachers as well as students, some of whom wrote,
love it or leave it.
The teacher says, in March, a couple of teachers had up a picture of George Bush with the question, are we headed for tyranny? Another question was, should we impeach him? The following day, one teacher posted a set of impeachment articles that had been circulating on the web, and the school teacher posted that. The school teacher says, 2 days after that, I posted a little note card-sized paper that said, all hail the idiot boy king. And that started the whole fury. Now, there's more to the story. Stick around.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Okay, you still with me? Officer Mott breaks into a school in Barrie, Vermont, a high school, because he's heard that one of those left-wing school teachers there or something has got this project going. Turns out that the school teacher had a three-part gig for his students. What do you think about Iraq? Write an opinion about going into Iraq and then illustrate your opinion with a poster. Real subversive stuff. So anyway, the school teacher now is really up to his eyeballs. two residents of Barrie, Vermont, who have founded a group called Citizens Advocating Responsible Education, wrote a letter to the local newspaper. The letter said, it is unrealistic to expect that current world events would not be a topic of discussion among students or faculty, but it is quite another matter for a teacher to use taxpayer dollars, that would be his salary and the school facility and related resources, to proselytize his left-wing rhetoric and anti-establishment rhetoric. Of particular concern is the lack of respect shown in this reference to the president of the United States. As the idiot boy king, we would advise the board and the administration to examine Mr. Treese's teaching practices and course materials. We would encourage parents and members of the community to acquaint themselves with these current activities of concern at Spalding High School. So the school superintendent says she asked the teacher to take down the note that said, idiot boy king. The superintendent says it was in bad taste, it was strongly worded, and it may discourage his students from offering an opposite viewpoint. Oh, really? Well,
However, that did not mollify the local residents. At a school board meeting on April 7th, about three dozen residents came to confront the school board about a bulletin board they say has been abused by faculty promoting an anti-American agenda. They also said they objected to bumper stickers that Treese, the school teacher, had put on his door that said, Impeach Bush and Vermonters for a Bush-Cheney regime change.
School teacher says that some of these residents have been calling for his head. He says people have made comments like, fire, Treese, and we'll pass the school budget. You see, the citizens of Barrie must pass the school budget every year. The first budget failed to pass back in March, and the next vote is scheduled, well, actually, for this evening. The school teacher says a flyer is now circulating in town with his yearbook picture on it, along with a copy of his Impeach Bush sticker and the words, We cannot allow this kind of stuff to happen in our schools. Overturn the budget on May 13th. The school superintendent defends the teacher's teaching practices. She says in the course of his teaching, he does present both sides and give resources on both sides. But the superintendent is pursuing administrative action against the teacher. Now, the teacher, our hapless Mr. Tree, says, I can't teach that class anymore. After this year, they've removed me from the class. According to the school teacher, the administration told him, quote, we feel you're a lightning rod, and teaching that course would be a disruption to the orderly educational process we'd like to see restored at Spalding High School. The teacher's very upset about losing his class. He says this is purely a political move on their part. And, as to be expected, the controversy, shall we call it that, has taken a toll on him. He says, my reputation has been spoiled, and I haven't got a lot of rest in the last month. Well, let's talk a little bit about this when we come back after this break. Eh? Stay tuned. I'm Mike Malloy.
You have the right to free speech. As long as you're not dumb enough to actually try it.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 300 workers at a plastics factory in Omaha, Nebraska, got a visit from President Bush yesterday. The visit was part of the president's three-day trip around the country to stump for his $500 billion tax cut. But Bush's visit to Airlite Plastics ended up costing the workers. They've been told they won't be paid for the time spent listening to Bush's speech, as they weren't making plastic. Factory managers say the workers can either make up the lost wages by working on Saturday or forfeit the day's pay.
Corporations that commit crimes in California could soon face the same fate as criminals who are repeat offenders. A tough new bill authored by State Senator Gloria Romero of Los Angeles would extend the state's three strikes and you're out policy to corporations. The bill recently cleared committee and is expected to sail through the full Senate later this month.
France is at a standstill today as more than a million public sector workers strike to show their dismay with government pension reform plans. The country's airports and public transportation are all but shut down, schools are closed, there is no mail delivery, and government offices are shuttered. The walkout is in protest of plans to raise the retirement age, which the government claims is necessary to offset a multi-billion-dollar shortfall in the national pension program.
Employees of the Stanley Works Corporation in New Britain, Connecticut, have downed tools to protest their company's latest contract offer. The toolmaker employs more workers as subcontractors than as regular employees, and they say they'll stay off the job until they win protection against outsourcing to overseas operations in Mexico, Thailand, and China. At its height, Stanley Works employed some 10,000 workers in New Britain. Now only hundreds remain. The company got in trouble last year after its board of directors tried to dodge federal taxes by reincorporating in Bermuda. A union campaign and congressional hearings into tax shelters reversed those plans.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. And as my senior correspondent who sent the story in adds editorially, so a cop, no, check that, a pig in every sense of the word, uses his uniform to force his way into a school and then a classroom, a specific classroom no less, and takes pictures of student projects, violating their privacy, breaking the law, using intimidation, etc., and not one damn thing is going to happen to him. In fact, the spineless school superintendent isn't even filing charges against the cop. But have a teacher speak his mind and watch the spine regenerate and watch the superintendent come down on him like a ton of bricks. Welcome to the police state. Welcome to George Bush's America. Now, this is really a tacky, a nasty story, and it is not really surprising to me that this kind of story winds up on the pigman's website, Limbaugh, who's being severely punished by his God. It doesn't surprise me at all, but it's a terrible, terrible commentary, isn't it? A law enforcement person breaks into a school because he is pissed off about some teacher's history or contemporary history project, takes pictures, and then demands the head of the school teacher, and by the way, it looks like his head will roll or else be put on a pike and placed at the entrance to the great town of Barre, Vermont. Vermont? This all happened in Vermont? Howard Dean's Vermont? I've been to Vermont, and I thought Vermont was, the Green Mountain State, isn't that where, well, wait a second, Vermont is where, what's his name, Joseph Smith had his vision where the angels came down and said, guess what, Jesus came over here on a boat, and nobody knows about it, but we're going to reveal the true church to you, now go to Utah and have lots of wives. Wasn't that in Vermont? I think it was. Oh, well. Ralph is calling from Bolingbrook, Illinois. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Going fine, sir.
Enjoy your show as usual.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it, and I appreciate all the subjects you bring up.
Uh-huh.
I think I did hear this live on Rush Limbaugh. I only listen to...
Yeah. You listen to Limbaugh, don't you?
Only as a radio. It doesn't have...
Yeah, Ralph. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Dude.
It's okay.
Okay, but I do sing in my car. But sometimes I've been turning off the radio and just like not listening to nothing because.
So what should happen to Officer Mott? Should he be emasculated? And figuratively speaking, he already has been.
That show? What was it? Newhart that was based in Vermont, where they had that inn.
Yeah.
And that guy, that officer that's there, you know, I forget what his name was on that show.
Ralph, that's television. This is real. Now, come on, Ralph. Focus. Focus down, bro.
Yeah, but the idea, in a way, it's probably good that it's in Vermont. Isn't that one of the first primary states?
I don't know. I think it's New Hampshire. I have no idea. But the point you wanted to make about Officer Mott is...
I feel that, you know, like this is just showing the direction we're going to, you know, that anybody who speaks up, and including little children, I guess if they're high school children under the age of 18, you know, the police feel threatened by them and they have to remove, you know, pictures and things. And
well, in fairness, it wasn't really the police of Barrie, Vermont. It was this one thug. You have to wonder, first of all, how he heard about the project. What? Does he have an inside source that spies on the teachers? It doesn't say whether or not he has a son or daughter who attends a school. But somehow he got word of this subversive project and it pissed him off as a police officer, a veteran, an American.
Right, but, you know, my feeling on all this is that I find it very offensive that if children, you know, teenagers express themselves in the way things are going, that we're going to say you're wrong and we got to take this all away from you and stuff. Just as regular adults, we should be listening to them because sometimes I think they're teaching us.
Well, that is definitely a good point. Ralph, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I think the part of the story that is most irritating to me, because I have had teenagers. I've had students, kids, and, you know, I'm a father. But the fact that these kids, they produce something in the classroom at the urging of their teacher where they have to think a little bit, you know, right? Huh? They're asked to think. Okay, think this issue through. Do you support or do you oppose George W. Bush's attack on Iraq? Which one? It's up to you. Go ahead, you know. So the kids decide, well, I support it. Well, I oppose it. And then they express that thought. And then the Gestapo comes in the middle of the night. I mean, is this not classic? It's almost like some liberal scripted this. Well, let's have a police officer break in the middle of the night. Let's have the police officer take photographs. Let's have the police officer send those photographs to America's number one pig man, Rush Limbaugh, and post them at his website so the entire world can see what these little subversive bastards are doing. Is this not, you know, forget the allusions to Hitlerian America. We are becoming the United Soviet States of America. This is like Brezhnev. This is like, who are some of those? Khrushchev. They had a whole run of them there for a while. All these Soviet Politburo types. But, I mean, is this not classic invasion, destruction, not just of the right to get an education, but the right to think whatever the hell you want to think? Imagine what these school students are thinking. There is the results of their thinking through a word problem. That's what it was. A word problem given to them by their teacher. Invade Iraq? Don't invade Iraq. What do you say? Huh? Oh, you say that? Okay. Back it up with an essay, and then back the essay up with a depiction of you know. So here the teacher is trying to approach these students on three or four or five or 20 different levels. And here comes the Gestapo to put a stop to that. Jesus, where are we? Where are we? Huh? Maybe Lance can answer. Where are we, Lance?
Mike?
Yes.
Antidote.
Thank you.
From hell.
Yes. From hell?
You asked where we were.
Oh, that's right.
As a teacher, I don't like to call your show two times in 2 days because you have so many intelligent, wonderful callers, but this one offends me, and something similar happened to me in the 80s when I tried to teach a course on gun control.
Oh, no, 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 no.
And the town went berserk because how could you? And I, it was a similar situation. I presented information for both sides, and the students picked which side of the debate they were going to be on, and it was like a riot trying to... But I'm terrified, frustrated, aggravated beyond belief, because the things that should have... This is why I don't teach school anymore. Because during those years in school, the students should be learning to exercise their individual thoughts and learning to understand complex concepts, develop their free thinking, learn to choose a position and intellectually defend the position.
And within the context of the classroom, which is supposed to be a protected area, and understand that there are opposing points of view.
Oh, that's not allowed anymore. That's what's so frustrating and aggravating about it. It's very much... Every time you say Hitler or Stalin, the Bushites go, oh, that's just extreme. But have you ever studied how the Germans did during Hitler's era with the youth?
Oh, sure. The Hitler youth, the boys and the girls who were taught absolute death-defying allegiance to Der Führer.
They were allowed free thinking as long as it was absolutely within the confines of what they were allowed to think about. Very much like what the protesters at that school... They must endorse that policy.
Right.
And it's very un-American, and it's very frightening. And, you know, people like you and I are near extinct in this country. It's just the Democrats are Republicans, the Republicans are fascists, and if you try to have a free thought, you're a traitor to your country. When the truth becomes treasonous, man, it's time to rebel.
Yeah, well, I would think so. I would think so, Lance. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, when the truth becomes treasonous, it's time to rebel. Yeah. Yeah, well, we're getting close. We're getting close. Kathy is calling from Cambridge, Mass. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
You know.
Yeah, I know.
Hanging in there.
I understand.
As a parent, I'd be more concerned about the police officer uninvited in a teacher's classroom.
You know, we need to pause for a second and just think about this. 1:30 in the morning, a police officer, an officer of the state, you might say, invades what used to be a protected space where kids could learn to practice discourse, agreement, disagreement, state their case, learn how to use logic, learn how emotions sometimes will cloud an issue, all that sort of stuff.
Learn rational reasoning.
Right. And a police officer invades that space and says, these thoughts are wrong. Wow.
I don't know if you remember a couple months back here in the People's Republic of Massachusetts, a teacher at Lynn English High School wanted to show Bowling for Columbine.
I remember that story, yes.
And mm-hmm. I made sure that my friends and I called that high school over and over again to attack the principal and the superintendent, who said, no, he cannot show that movie.
Because it was, what was it? Because it was anti-Bush or anti-gun? Or...
Yeah, I think in essence it was anti-Bush. They were saying that it was biased or something.
In a time of war, films such as this should not be shown to impressionable students.
Mm.
That sort of thing.
And I mean... I know that probably in my community something like that would never happen. I'm sure they've already shown Bowling for Columbine at Cambridge Rindell Latin High School, but still, you know, this is in Massachusetts, and and what just happened is in Vermont, and you're right, it's Howard Dean's Vermont.
Yeah,
what is going on in this world?
And it was John Kerry's and Jack Kennedy's Massachusetts.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, these stories pop up, and you read them like I did when my senior correspondent sent this in. I think, oh God, that's really terrible. But it gets shuffled aside because we're killing people in Iraq, and we're losing American servicemen and women who are being gunned down in a war that makes no sense whatsoever. And a story like this is like, yeah, okay, well, I'll get to it. And then there's a follow-up, which is what happened today. And all of a sudden it becomes clear what's going on here, and it totally displays what's going on in Iraq as the absolute fraud that it is. There's Bush saying, "Well, we're going to establish democracy. We're going to have of, by, and for the people in Iraq."
I do appreciate you. You do a great Bush. I have.
And in this country, a school teacher is now going to lose his job, lose his class, lose his profession, be probably run out of Vermont, I guess, and a cop who can invade a classroom at 1:30 in the morning and steal, taking photographs and stealing the children's work and sending it to Rush Limbaugh.
The thought police.
Bingo.
It's really, really frightening.
Bingo.
The other thing I just wanted to really mention briefly, and I'm sure you'll mention this later in the show, is what the Texas Dems did.
Right. That's the next story on the...
Finally!
Right.
You've gotten some cojones.
Yeah, the Texas Democrats have done what the congressional Democrats should do. And just bring the whole charade to a screaming stop. You know, just throw sand in the gears. And, yeah, I'm going to get to that story about what the Texas Democrats have done down there in Austin, Texas. It is a great story.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Now, you're not supposed to say that. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All
Bye-bye.
Right, Kathy, take care. Yeah, the Texas Democrat story. Let's just segue right into that. Let's call it an act of political defiance. At least 53 Democratic legislators in that state packed their bags and disappeared. Apparently scattered across the Southwest. They went to Arizona. They went to New Mexico. Got the hell out of town. They did this on Monday. And the Texas Rangers were ordered to go find them. Now, under state law, Republicans, who, by the way, now control everything in Texas, like they control everything in Washington. In Texas, Republicans control the governor's mansion, the state Senate, the state House. This is the first time since the 19th century, okay, about 130 years. The Republicans need 100 of the 150 legislators on the floor of the House before they can conduct the people's business. So, with the Democrats taking leave of this insanity, the Republicans now don't have a quorum. And Thursday is the last day legislation can be sent to the Senate. So, the conservative, regressive, reactionary, neo-Nazi agenda that the Republicans in Texas have waited, you might say, 130 years to advance, just might die. Now, this maneuver by the Democrats in the State House in Texas came, and this is not a coincidence, it came as Republicans were preparing to redraw the congressional districts in that state, which would allow the neo-Nazis to take as many as 7 congressional seats in that state away from Democrats in the next election cycle. That means send them to Washington, get rid of 7 Democrats and replace them with Republicans. The Democrats, you see, currently hold a very slight majority of the state's congressional delegation to Washington. And the Republican plan could cement the Republican Party's hold on power in Washington. Because if they can do that, if the state legislature in Texas, controlled by neo-Nazis, can redistrict the way they are trying to redistrict, which I'll get to in a moment, it could send as many as another 7 Republicans to Washington. Now, we know at this point, unless there is a miracle, the Democratic Party is going to crash and burn in flames, in explosions, shock and awe in November of 2004. We know it. At this point, unless they get some leadership, unless they get some candidates, unless they stand up like the Democrats in Texas are doing. More on the story in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyways. Won't you let me help you, mister? Just pull your hat down the way I do and buy your pants just a little longer. Next time somebody laughs at you, you just tell them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas won't you anyway. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas won't you anyway. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, He wraps a towel around his waist.
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. So the Democrats in the Texas legislature decided to boogie the Speaker of the Texas House, a neo-fascist Republican named Tom Craddock, was not impressed by the walkout, according to the L.A. Times. He warned the Democrats, "Get your asses back to Austin and get back to work." And the L.A. Times reports it this way. As his compatriots whistled the Star-Spangled Banner on the floor of the House, Craddock ordered the chamber's doors locked. Then, citing an obscure provision in the Texas Constitution allowing members of the House to demand a quorum of their peers, he asked the chamber's sergeant-at-arms to find the Democrats. Arrest the bastards and bring them back! The Texas Department of Safety, Public Safety spokesman confirmed Monday night that three of his department's law enforcement divisions, including the Texas Rangers, were on the case. Can you believe this? Bless them. Bless them. It's about time there was some acts of political defiance in George Bush's neo-Nazi United States, right? The Democrats, you see, have vowed to stay in hiding until the deadline passes tomorrow night or Thursday night. And according to the Associated Press, state troopers were sent to a Holiday Inn in Ardmore, Oklahoma, late last night to tell 40 of the members gathered there to return to Austin. Now, it's not clear how the Republicans learned that the Democrats were at a Holiday Inn in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Probably one of the spy satellites, you know. According to published reports and interviews with aides and legislative officials, the Democrats not only hatched a secret plan to escape Austin, they leaked false plans to the Republican leadership in recent days to cover their tracks. And correctly assuming that Speaker Craddock would send troopers and rangers to arrest them, the Democrats split into groups and headed for several states, including Oklahoma and New Mexico. Can you believe this? Can you believe this is happening? Huh? Texas Governor Rick Goodhair Perry dispatched his attorneys Monday to ask neighboring states whether his troopers and rangers could come into their state and make arrests. New Mexico's Attorney General Patricia Madrid said no. Hell no. She said Texas authorities would need to issue warrants for the legislators' arrest, and only then would New Mexico authorities be able to arrest them, and even then the two states would need to discuss extradition proceedings. Patricia Madrid, who happens to be a Democrat, said, quote, "I have put out an all-points bulletin for law enforcement to be on the lookout for politicians in favor of health care for the needy and against tax cuts for the wealthy," end quote.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. U.S. terrorism experts, including FBI agents, are heading to the capital of Saudi Arabia to help in the probe of the overnight suicide bombings that killed several Americans and scores of others. State Department spokesman Phil Reeker calls this a time of sorrow and grief.
This was clearly a well-planned terrorist attack. It had all the fingerprints, earmarks of Al-Qaeda, but of course a final determination in this attack of who was responsible will depend upon the results of the ongoing investigation.
The U.S. blames Al-Qaeda for the 9/11 terrorist attacks on New York City and the Pentagon. Earlier, President Bush said about half of Al-Qaeda's top operatives have been captured or killed, and he said the hunt for the rest goes on. Speaking in Indianapolis, Bush called the bombings a despicable and ruthless reminder that the war on terror continues around the world. The United States has expelled 14 Cuban diplomats based at the United Nations and in Washington, accusing them of spying. The move is the latest in a series of actions by the U.S. following a recent crackdown on dissidents by the island's communist government. Nathan King reports from the United Nations.
These latest expulsions are a sign of a toughening of Washington's attitude against Cuba. The island nation's president, Fidel Castro, recently jailed over 75 dissidents. He says he fears the United States could attack at any time. He's also restricted the movement of American diplomats in Cuba. The U.S. has condemned Fidel Castro's actions, along with Cuba's re-election to the United Nations Human Rights Commission last month. And the White House may announce a new get-tough policy against Cuba in the next few days. Tensions between the two countries haven't been so strained since the Elian Gonzalez affair. Nathan King at the United Nations, New York.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke-Free, completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Political leaders in Seattle are calling a first-of-its-kind anti-terrorism drill a success so far. Today is the second day of the nationwide exercise. During the first day of the drill, Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels says 122 people were injured.
Now they are searching for potential fatalities, and we expect to find 10 to 20 potential fatalities within the site.
The exercise involves a dirty radioactive bomb. Buildings are nearly destroyed, cars and buses are charred, and an explosion has rocked the city. Nickels says no major flaws have occurred during the drill so far. He and he's praising emergency workers and political leaders for their quick response and action. Chicago is also taking part in a similar exercise.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
NATO's Secretary General has hailed the success of the Russian NATO Council a year after the body was established. George Robertson said important practical results had been achieved since its agenda was drawn up in Rome in May 2002, and he says the Council is more important today than ever.
The creation of the NATO-Russia Council was in itself
a historic step. And it was a step taken not out of charity or political gamesmanship, but out of a sense of need and of urgency.
Robertson says Moscow and the Atlantic Alliance had cooperated in peacekeeping operations, fighting terrorism, and evaluating the threat from weapons of mass destruction. The terrorist attacks in Saudi Arabia helped to send stocks lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 48 points to 86.79. The Nasdaq slid 2 points to 1540, and the S&P 500 declined 3 points to 942. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Seven, I'll get it right, seven past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. We're going to come to your phone calls here in just a second, but there's a little bit more on this Texas legislature story. 53 Democrats have headed for the hills in an act of utter political defiance. Good for them. Now, it is partly because of the redistricting plan, which, by the way, was put together by Tom DeLay, the bug man, the neoconservative Christian Nazi from Sugar Land, Texas, who sat down with the Republican leadership in the state of Texas and said, boys, we got to figure out a way to take seven seats away from these some bitches, and the way to do it is just to redistrict. That's what we'll do. We'll redistrict. Now, one of the Republican Party's new congressional districts in Texas would be composed of two Republican-leaning areas. One is north of Austin, and one is in the Rio Grande Valley, 300 miles away. Okay? Now, they're going to combine those two districts by a mile-wide, one-mile-wide ribbon of land, and call that ribbon of land a community of interest, whatever that means. And so imagine a barbell in your mind. Okay, here's a ball here, here's a ball here, and then there's that real thin little. Okay, that's part of what the Republicans are trying to do. And the Democrats say no, hell no. The missing Democrats said in a prepared statement, "We did not choose this path. Tom DeLay did." So the Democrats have just hightailed out of Texas. They've said, no, we're not going to do it. We're just not going to do it. Now, Texas, it's not just a walkout by the Democrats because of redistricting. Texas, though it spends less per capita than almost any other state is in dire financial trouble. This is a result of George Bush being governor there for 5 years or 6 years, okay? They are facing a $10 billion budget shortfall over the next 2 years. Hell, that's almost as big as California's. And Texas didn't have Enron gouging the hell out of them like California did. But anyway, in Texas, you see, the people down there, for the most part, expect very little from their government than, you know, make sure the traffic lights are operating right. And if you raise taxes, well, we'll toss your ass out, boy. Don't be raising taxes. Now, the Republican leaders in Texas say they're trying to be good fiscal monitors in difficult economic times. But what have they proposed during these difficult economic times? Well, among other things, the Republicans want to reclassify. Are you sitting down? Of course you are. You don't listen to this program standing up, but just checking. The Republicans in Texas want to reclassify 56,000 elderly and disabled people so that they are no longer called frail, F-R-A-I-L, frail. And in doing so, this makes them ineligible for Medicaid. Now, that's one of the things the Republicans want to do in Texas, throw 56,000 old and disabled people off the Medicaid rolls so they can balance their tax-cutting budget, you know, tax breaks for the wealthy, just like Bush in the White House, same thing. In addition, an estimated 250,000 children. Now, as I tell you this, think no child left behind. An estimated 250,000 children from low-income families would be thrown off the rolls of the Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program. That's like a Medicaid program for children, for little kids, babies, toddlers, kids, little kids. 250,000 of them from low-income families. Now, low-income families, they have no political clout. They are not Enron. They are not Global Crossing. They are not oil millionaires. They have no political clout. So, 56,000 old and disabled people thrown off the Medicaid rolls, 250,000 children from low-income families denied even minimal health coverage under the Children's Health Insurance Program. You see, this is what the Republicans are doing in Texas. There's more. Money set aside to replace antiquated textbooks in public schools has been eliminated. Teachers' health insurance benefits, gone. It just goes on and on. You see, this is George Bush's Texas and George Bush's America. Now, that's why the Democrats walked out in denying the Republican leadership a quorum to vote on this, because the Democrats know if they show up and every single one of them vote no, these bastard Republicans will get this passed anyway. So what to do? What to do? Leave. Good for you, boys and girls. Good for you. Democrats in Texas also disagree with just a whole lot of other Republican legislation that is expected to pass. Now, the Republicans in Texas, while they are throwing old and elderly people and children off of any kind of social safety net, they are passing bills that limits damages in medical malpractice cases and restricts class action lawsuits. I mean, Jesus, what do you want, huh? And shields corporations from defective product claims. Well, let the marketplace speak. If you eat that food and die, then your survivors won't buy the same brand again. Now, what's wrong with that? That's how the marketplace works. You make a rational decision based on how you were able to deal with the product the first time around. So if your little girl dies from eating that rotten hamburger meat. Of course, they have laws in Texas that prevent a consumer from finding out what meat packing plant actually put together the poisonous hamburger. You see how it works? But some corporations are still suable under defective product claims. Well, the Republicans of Texas want to get rid of that, too. I mean, what is this, communism? Get rid of that. The Texas Democratic Party chairperson, her name is Molly Beth Malcolm, said the Democrats in the Texas House of Representatives have taken a stand on principle. They are not going to allow themselves to be run over by Tom DeLay, Tom Craddock, the neo-fascist speaker of the Texas legislature, and the rest of the far-right-wing Republicans who care more about their party's agenda than what is best for Texas. The Republicans will attempt to call these Democrats obstructionists. To the contrary, they are heroes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, my senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, being feisty, suggested in a little editorial comment to the story that, you know, why don't the National Democrats do this? Why doesn't Tom DeLay lead a walkout? Last time there was a walkout, it was forced because a Bush operative sent anthrax spores into the United States Senate. And then everybody fled. So why doesn't Tom DeLay or, oh, hell, I don't know, who is there? Who is there? Russ Feingold? Somebody? Not Tom DeLay, Tom Daschle. Russ Feingold, some Democrat. Why don't the Democrats in the House and the Senate in Washington say, we've had enough of this. We've had enough of this filthy, filthy game. We're walking out. Because I believe there's some kind of a quorum necessity on the federal level, too, isn't there? Isn't that why they have a sergeant at arms to go round up those recalcitrant House or Senate members? So Texas Democrats display what? Courage. In an act of political defiance, 53 of them said, to hell with you, and walked out, left the state. And then they want the New Mexico attorney general, is she attorney general, to arrest them? Hey, catch them some bitches, and we're sending the Texas Rangers up there. Now, we know they ain't got no jurisdiction in New Mexico or Oklahoma or Arizona, but hell, this is Bush's America, so they ought to be able to arrest anybody, anywhere, anytime, for any reason, don't you think? Huh? Yeah. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hi, old Silver. Get them up, Scout. We got to go get those Democrats back to Texas.
Yes, ma'am.
God almighty.
Get the posse together. It's high noon.
You know, when I read this, I knew you were going to have fun with it. But there's somebody else I'm waiting for. And I don't know how long it's going to take her to stop laughing so she can actually write a column on this.
Molly Ivins.
You got it, baby.
Right, I can.
Oh, I'm waiting for that.
me too.
But she only appears once on Thursdays in the Chicago Tribune. I hope it's that column. I don't know. I'll have to track it down somehow. Because I think she writes more than one a week.
Yeah, you can get to a computer and just type in a Google search Molly Ivins. I don't think she has a specific web page, but she writes for a
Creators or something.
Creator Syndicate, I think.
Yeah.
And they would have a list of her columns, so you don't have to wait for the Tribune. But yeah, I can't wait till Molly Ivins sinks her teeth into this. Yeah, really.
Back to Vermont and New Hampshire. I don't know which one of them, but if you get out one of your quarters, you know, the state quarters.
Yeah.
The motto is live free or die.
Yeah, that would be Vermont. I think. Or is that New Hampshire? No, that's New Hampshire.
One of the two up there.
I think. Maybe it's not.
And, you know, and the idea that you're going to have somebody coming in the middle of the night and taking pictures. You know, something similar to that happened here in Evanston in the last week or so. Some teachers were wearing...
you know, I've got that story, too. And
the pins that said no war.
Yeah.
And they raised all kinds of hell.
Yeah.
And said that they couldn't wear them. And so, what about the superintendents wearing a flag on their lapel? I mean, you know...
Oh, that's different.
You know, do you remember... the book, The Peter Principle?
I do. A person in business rises
to the level of their
level of incompetence. I think that was the basic Peter Principle.
Yeah, and then there was one other phrase from that book that sticks in my head, is a lateral arabesque. When you were talking about Tom Daschle's pink tutu last night, right. I kept thinking about the lateral arabesque.
Yeah?
And I had one comment when you were talking about him and all his mousy remarks.
Right.
You know, with that much horse's doo-doo around, there's got to be a horse's butt someplace close.
Someplace, yeah. There has to be one close. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you.
We are living through a Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Oh, God help us all.
I hear you. Hey, thanks for checking in, Marge.
Take care.
All right. Appreciate your call. And by the way, the State Secretary of Germany, Jürgen Schrobog, says that America is turning into a police state. He would know, I would imagine. No aspersions on Herr Schrobog. No aspersions on Herr Jürgen, but he would know, wouldn't he?
I'm sentimental, if you know what I mean. I love the country, but I can't stand the scene. And I'm neither left or right. I'm just staying home tonight, getting lost in that hope.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days, guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. 5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Emerson once said of a visitor to his home, "The louder he talked of his honor, the faster we counted our spoons." I've always felt that way when hearing blathering Bill Bennett talk. He's the right-wing Republican who's made a fortune by positioning himself as a national scold. A former education official and drug czar under Reagan and Bush the Elder, Bennett writes books, gets paid absurd sums of money to make speeches, and is a regular on the television yak show circuit. He uses all of these forums to chide us lesser mortals for having weak morals, especially if you're a Democrat or harbor any liberal thoughts. He immodestly titled one of his tomes, The Book of Virtues, and he even did a version for children. But Bill is now learning that putting yourself on top of Morality Mountain can be a very slippery slope. As widely reported, it turns out that our moralizer-in-chief has a midnight gambling fetish and has squandered some $8 million at various casinos, losing up to $500,000 at a single sitting. The amazing thing, however, is not that another puffy-faced humbug has been exposed, but that Bennett and so many of his establishment cohorts are resorting to Clinton-esque moral relativism in a desperate effort to salvage his tarnished halo. These are the same politicos who savaged Bill Clinton for his twisted explanations of moral failures, but now they're the ones doing the Clinton twist. Bennett himself, for example, repeatedly declares that, quote, "I adhere to the law when I gamble." That's a pretty slim ethical read for a guy who preaches moral absolutism. But, his allies whine, Bill has never included gambling in his list of evils, so technically, he's not being hypocritical. Yeah, sure, and Clinton technically never had sex with that woman. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe Bennett will now get off his high horse and be a tad less pious about other people's moral lapses. But I wouldn't bet on it.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Well, in response to Marge from Maryville's, Indiana's comment about when will Molly write something, Molly Evans, she already has. I'll post it. JB sent it in to me. It's at workingforchange.com. And I will post her her column about this madness in Texas at my website tonight when the program's over, mikemolloy.com.net. You can go to the daily program topics page and it'll be there. So Molly Ivins wrote it today, as a matter of fact, and it's posted right now at workingforchange.com. Just look for the Molly Ivins column about this madness. Wayne is calling from Ackworth, Georgia. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Been hanging on here just listening, which has been great for me because I'm trapped on the other side of the digital divide.
Oh, I know. Damn it. Well, how can... Can't you get a computer?
Nah, bro. The trials and tribulations going on in my life, brother. You wouldn't, you know, if you ever think you've had a bad week, you ain't seen nothing like what I've been through.
It's been that bad, huh?
Yeah, my wife passed away, and then two days later.
Jesus, what? Your wife passed away?
Yeah. She'd been battling cancer, and she had a heart attack. I found her, the next morning, but. 2 days
Wayne,
later.
Wayne, I am so, so sorry.
Well, hey, it's for the better. I mean, she was suffering really severely. The cancer was eating her up.
I have sorrow for you for all.
Let me tell you the worst part of it. 2 days later, I was on my way over to my brother's to have him take me to the funeral. And because I was nice to this cop and I let him in front of me, I was doing the speed limit. He decided I was suspicious and got behind me, and of course he ran my tag, which was out of date, pulled me over and took me to jail. He booked me into jail while they were burying my wife.
Oh, for Christ's sake. This is up in Ackworth?
Yeah. Well, Cobb County got me, but.
What did he say when you said, I'm on my way to my wife's funeral?
Well, at that point it really doesn't matter because, they've got the videotape. The way the cars here work, they got the videotape cameras in the car. As soon as they throw on the blue lights, the video camera opens up. And from then on, everything's recorded. So they don't have the discretion, to be able to do much of anything anymore.
How long were you in Cobb County Jail?
Oh, that wasn't long. I got out the next day.
Jesus,
it was just ironic because it was right at the time. I remember looking up the clock and it said 2:00. And that was exactly the time the funeral started.
I know you're not looking for sympathy, and I hear your sardonic laughter there. But Jesus, man, I you're right.
It was pretty tough. But I can tell you, I'll never drive illegal again. Look, I'm resilient, Look, it's just like the right wingers. They can beat on me and beat on me and beat on me, and it ain't gonna change a damn thing. I keep on coming back and coming back and coming back. You can't keep me down. There's no way. Listen, on your first story, let me point out three things on the first story real quick.
Sure.
Number one, the cop that went in there, of course, he broke the law from breaking and entering to begin with. He his oath, his whole deal. He broke the law, period. Number two, he broke another law. Why is it that veterans are so ignorant to the idea of what it is that they wore the uniform for and what they fought for?
I don't know.
They fought to protect free speech, so therefore, hey, he didn't even understand.
No,
he didn't even,
Wayne, the studies have been done about people who go into and come out of combat, and when they come out, they will tell you to the last man, and I use that gender specifically, that they were not there fighting for the First Amendment. They were there fighting because they were told to fight, and all they want to do is get the damn thing over and go home. And if they're thinking about anything, it's their families. But the last thing they're doing is carrying the Constitution in their backpack. Hold on a second, Wayne. I'll come back to you in a minute. We got to take a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Just one life in a world that keeps on pushing me.
are strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Consumers have the final word on food that's good for the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. You've probably heard of organic food, but there are several other terms you should know, including protected harvest and shade grown. Cynthia Barstow calls them eco-foods. She's the author of the Eco-Foods Guide. Barstow says most people know that organic food has been grown without chemical pesticides and fertilizers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently passed national standards to determine what foods can carry the organic label. But Barstow says other terms can also guide your decisions.
The reason that I use the term eco-foods is that there are more production methods that I think we need to think about than just organic. I'm a big advocate of organic agriculture, and I feel very excited that we now have standards which tell consumers what it means. But I also think there are other things out there, like integrated pest management.
Integrated pest management means that growers use smaller amounts of pesticides with greater precision. Growers call this a protected harvest. Barstow says consumers can have alternatives for most products. For example, coffee drinkers can look for shade-grown coffee. It's grown within a tropical forest, leaving habitat for migratory birds. Barstow says buying eco-foods builds a market for these environmentally sound practices.
We send signals every time we buy something, because that's how market researchers examine the food system. They will watch our buying habits, and then products will continue to come in based on what we're interested in.
Barstow says she's not a perfect eco-shopper, but she tries to stay on good terms with the environment. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're talking with Wayne and Ackworth. Now, where were we?
Well, I was just on that first story. The other part of that thing, too, he was a ROTC instructor, you know, and,
right.
And that just, when I've been listening, you let in with your bumper music, and you were playing the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Kent State. And that's exactly what that reminded me of. I smell the 60s all over this. You know, these people have this attitude with their little crew cuts and their shiny boots that they're the only Americans because they're a bush butt kisser and everybody else is like the long-haired hippies. And hell yeah, why don't we just shoot them down?
Well, you know, it's a lot worse, so I think you'll agree, Wayne. It's a lot worse now than it was in the late 60s, early 70s. And the reason it's worse, we don't have a Democratic Party anymore that has a backbone. The neo-Nazis control all three branches of government and the so-called Fourth Estate, the media. Now, that was not the case back in 1970. from the late 60s right. to the mid 70s until we got rid of the piece of human waste, Richard Nixon. It just wasn't true back then. The power now has been totally consolidated, and we are becoming a fascist state. There's no argument about this, no question about this, no debate. We're becoming a fascist state.
And they've got better surveillance tools now, too. You know, cameras everywhere you go and satellites, and God knows what they can see from space. I don't know. But, you know, and moving into that second story, now I'll just let you know real quick. This is where the campaign's going to go when they go to run for re-election out in Texas. They're going to have a Republican spot running. It's going to go, real Texans stood and fought at the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. What did the Democrats do?
Sure.
They wanted to be from Oklahoma and remember the Holiday Inn.
Sure.
You know? Beyond all that, you know, like I said, They just like the Clinton penis pounders, you know, the penis posse out there that keeps on with their crap.
Right.
Look, we've got the biggest deficit in history in this fiscal budget year so far, and we haven't even gotten to the end of the fiscal year. These guys are going to run us right in the ground. The deficit's going to go. He's doing the same damn thing that Reagan did.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan laid $3 trillion of debt in 8 years on us.
That's right.
I think this guy is going to try to break his record and do $3 trillion in 4 years because you know he's not getting a second term.
Who, Bush?
Yeah, there's no way.
I hope you're right. I've said on this program, I don't see how he's going to be defeated. And I took a lot of flack about that. Oh, don't talk negative, Mike. But, you know, it's one thing to be negative. It's something else to be a political realist. And it's contingent on whether or not there exists in this country any longer a Democratic Party. If we still have a Democratic Party, if we still have leadership in that party, then there's a chance. But absent that leadership, George Bush will be in office as long as he wants to.
I don't think so. I hope you're right. I think people are going to finally get tired of this wrapping himself in the flag and waving Jesus in everybody's face. And beyond that, by the way, Al Gore may not be running.
Mm-hmm.
But the Al Gore revenge is the thing that's going to vote.
You think so?
Yeah, man. Are you kidding me? I'm so mad Gore's not running, it's not even funny. But I'll tell you what, come hell or high water, the majority this time is going to get what they voted for last time, and it ain't going to be Bush.
Well, again, I hope you're right, Wayne. You know, hang on to that.
Let's go with John Edwards, brother. Hey, what better than a lawyer that seems to be honest? than to take control of all this mess.
Well, we could debate that for hours. But listen, Wayne, again, thanks for checking in. I am so sorry about all the grief you've had to put up with in the past couple of weeks. You sound like you're able to deal with it. I don't know how, but bless your heart. Thanks for checking in, pal.
And I appreciate you, Mike. You have a good night.
All right, stay in touch, okay?
Yeah, I sure will, buddy. Thanks.
All right, sir. Wow. Now, regarding that... story from Vermont. TLM sent this in. That's the liberal media. He writes, Mike, just imagine the outrage if something like this was done under Clinton. We're talking about the cop that went into the school. If a teacher was in fear of using his job for criticizing the president, if a cop was allowed to go into a class and take pictures of kids' projects without permission because of their political content, the Republicans would be screaming, big government, communist takeover, and God only knows what else. This just goes to show, TLM writes, that Republicans love a big authoritarian fascist government just as long as the thugs in control have an R by their name. This goes all the way back to the Pilgrims. They say they wanted religious freedom. Bat squeeze. They wanted to keep burning witches and stoning adulterous women. And those darn repressive Brits had moved past that sort of thing for the most part. These same folk later kicked out the Brits, saying that all men are created equal. Yeah, except for the slaves and those savage Indians. Same thing continues today. Republicans love debt and high unemployment, recession and war, and ditto heads are happy to fight over the scraps from their master's table. They want to be controlled and told what to think and have their belly rubbed. Just as long as they believe the neocon thug taking their rights away is on their side. They have nothing to worry about, they think, if he's one of their own. He'll only go after them liberals and pinko homosexuals, so that's okay. In fact, they're happy to help out. So the clear fact is that Republicans do not value the rights or the Constitution or the freedoms. They preach about these things the way an older boy I don't know if I can say this part. They preach about these things the way blankety blank blank preaches about chastity and morality. They don't give a damn about these things beyond their value as a distraction. That's from the liberal media guy, TLM. Thanks. I couldn't say that part about altar boy buggering priests. I just couldn't do it on family radio. Robert is calling from New York City. Welcome to the program, Robert. This is your first time calling?
It is, Mike, and it's really great to hear you.
Well, thank you. It's good of you to call in.
I mean, I've really been despairing of late, and, you know, I've actually stopped listening to the news more than I should.
You and lots more of us. There's no news out there. On television, forget about it. Read newspapers, I guess, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, I was really loving what you had to say about how the Democrats are no longer an opposition party.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be putting words in your mouth. I think that was the gist of what you were...
That's exactly what I said.
And, you know, I want to share with your listeners my feeling as a New Yorker about one of my senators, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard she was thinking of running, I called her office every day saying, please run, please run. We need you so desperately up here. You know, now that she's in, I regret voting for her more than I've ever regret voting for anyone in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a young man anymore. I voted for a lot of people. She has let us down in every possible way. Do you know that her position did not differ from George Bush's regarding Iraq in any way that I'm aware of?
I'm hip. Listen, last night, if you're not real familiar with this program, at my website, MikeMalloy.com or MikeMalloy.net, there's a link that says Daily Program Topics. If you click on that link, you'll come to a page that lists the subjects we talked about every night of any given week and a few that we didn't get to. Last night, if you go to that link, last night I put up there an article from an Australian newspaper. I believe it was titled The Shark is Circling. And it's about Hillary Rodham Clinton in New York, and it's about her designs on the White House. And in it, in the article, there are several quotes that you just referred to, where she talked about the righteousness of attacking Iraq, the righteousness of George W. Bush as a commander-in-chief. So if you want to read a very interesting article that is pretty much in line with what you just said, just go to my website, click on the Daily Program Topics page, go to a link, go to last night, which would be Monday, last night. It's the last story in that list of stories. Just click on that link, and there it is.
Right. Well, I could certainly appreciate that. While the war was going on, I would call her office every day, and I would say to whoever I get on the phone, can you tell me how Hillary's position differs from the president's at all regarding Iraq? And they never could mention a single thing, not one thing.
What would they say?
They would say things like, well, Hillary thinks that the president should try to resolve it diplomatically.
Right,
and I said, well, the president has said that.
Right.
And then they would mention something else. I said, well, the president said that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It didn't she never differentiated herself from the president on Iraq, not one bit. And, you know, I like to castigate voters in general. And, you know, lately it feels like Nixon times, where a lot of us knew that Nixon was a skunk pretty early on into his presidency. But it seemed most people loved the guy. And even when he ran, he really trounced McGovern the second.
Well, that's the thing. You know, George W. Bush seeking re-election, this is not like some political pundits have said, well, you know, remember what happened to Pappy Bush. No. Go back to Nixon, McGovern. And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen this time.
Right. You know what? I think it, too. And what's disturbing to me, among other things, is that Democrats are now naming Hillary Rodham Clinton as a Democrat they'd like to see take on the president.
I know.
And you know what? She stinks. If you're a Democrat, she's not so good.
I know.
I mean, she had nothing to say about Rick Santorum.
Right.
I called her office for days. Is she going to say anything? Is this important to her? Should I assume that she agrees with Santorum?
Well, she won't say anything because if she does, then Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these thugs can blanket the country with statements like Hillary Clinton is a fag lover. And if you appreciate family and home, don't vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a fag lover. And that's what they will say. And they will absolutely use gutter terminology to destroy an incipient campaign.
campaign, I think most people understand that Hillary Rodham Clinton is going to make a run for the White House in 2008. And they will do anything they can. The neo-fascists now that run the Republican Party, that are the Republican Party, they at once fear her and they hope that she would be the nominee because they could just, oh my God, can you see radio and television during a Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign, what they would do, what the right wingers in this country and on media would do to her? So,
well, you know, I've got to wonder though, Mike, because when it comes down to it, Hillary Clinton is not a very liberal or progressive person.
No, not at all.
she's for the death penalty. She
right.
is for the Defense of Marriage Act.
Right.
She marches in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York, which kicks gay Irish people out of the parade.
Sure.
And won't let them march.
Well, Hillary is by all intents and purposes, she's a Rockefeller Republican. And maybe even a little bit harder right than Rockefeller was, even though he you know, it was during the Rockefeller years that the death penalty was introduced back into the state of New York, and it could be used against people who sold marijuana for a living. So Hillary Clinton is not a liberal. Hillary Clinton is not a progressive. I don't care if she writes 30 It Takes a Village books. That does not make her a progressive or a liberal. Hillary Clinton is a conservative, and I think what would be disturbing to an awful lot of Hillary Clinton supporters would be if they scratched the surface of Mrs. Clinton, they would find possibly a neo-fascist resting down there amongst the corpuscles and intestines. I don't think Hillary Clinton represents anything about the Democratic Party. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. Nothing.
Right. And, you know, and people on both the left and the right think she's some stalwart liberal. And, you know, even in the gay, she does march in the gay pride parade. And whenever you try to nail her down or her staff down on her anti-gay support, they will say, well, she marches in the gay pride parade. It's like, oh, okay, well, then I guess she can be a bigot. It's no problem. If she marches in that parade, she can do whatever she wants to support the anti-gay bigot.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I didn't understand that. But, you know, even when she marches in the gay parade, all these gay people who are generally thought of as liberal, I know there are a few self-hating Republicans amongst us.
Yeah.
They're cheering her like she's like the queen of America or the queen of gay people.
I know.
And I think, what the hell are you people doing? This woman isn't on our side.
Oh,
and, you
God.
Know, so I'm really frustrated. And, you know, I'm looking at the Democrats who are running. And, you know, I like Dean and I love that he's standing out and standing up.
What about Kucinich?
I think he's great, too, but I just don't see him happening. I just don't see him catching on in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really just despairing big time.
well, look, you live in the greatest city in America, in the world, so you know that counts for something, right?
Living absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't live anywhere else. I love it.
Right. Well, listen, I'm glad you called. This is your first time calling, right?
It is.
Well, I'm glad you called in, Robert. I hope you call again. I certainly agree with your assessment of Hillary Rodham Clinton. I do not understand why so-called or supposed or alleged liberals or progressives support the woman. Maybe it has something to do with feeling her pain.
I think it has to do with public relations, Mike.
Yeah.
And marketing.
I think that's probably what it is. But if you look at Hillary Clinton's voting record, she is the worst kind of get-along, go-along. And she has pretty much followed the Bush agenda to the letter. So
right. And one last point I want to make is, I've heard all these Senate Republicans saying, wow, she's a great gal. And you know what? I'm glad they all love her. But I'll tell you, here in New York, we're feeling let down by the woman.
I hear that loud and clear. Hey, thanks for checking in,
Thank
Robert.
You, Mike. It was nice talking to you.
I hope you call again.
I will.
All right, sir. Take care. Okay, I'm waiting for the onslaught of pro-Hillary emails now. But that's the truth. And, Never mind. Susan is calling from Moody, Alabama. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. I'm just rather in despair, too. And, yeah.
A lot of that going around here lately.
Yeah. I agree with Robert about Hillary, but I also agree that I'm not so sure we're even going to have an election in 2004.
Not in this. If you think about that for a while, you can come to a conclusion. It might look like an election. There might be people standing in lines to vote on touch screen voting machines.
Yeah.
But if everything we are hearing is true, and there's no reason to doubt it, at blackboxvoting.com and Greg Palast's book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, yeah, then the chances are, even if we go through the motions of a presidential election in 2004, the outcome will be determined by Karl Rove and the Bush crime family before the first vote is cast. I mean, that's one way to look at it. I guess we have to put on our tinfoil helmets to do that. But,
Well, hey, I've got my helmet on.
Hey, listen, hold on a second, and let me come back to you, Susan, because we have to take a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
But we don't need to count those votes in days. Congratulations, Antonin. You stopped the count in time. Well, your boy's lead was getting mighty slim. And those black robes couldn't hide your Bush T-shirt there inside. You made the man with a fewer votes win. Congratulations, George. Well, it's all bought and paid for. The history books will have to write you in. Well, maybe you could pass a law so the rest of us...
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings be by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech Quiz Time will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacations that come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show. Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, indeed. Five before the hour. Coming up next hour, presidential hopeful Democrat Bob Graham, senator from Florida, is accusing the Bush administration of all sorts of, we'll talk about it. Also, how the Bush crime family is trying to take over Mexico's oil. You're not going to believe this. And guess who is being assigned leadership roles in Iraq? You're going to love it. Back to Susan in Moody, Alabama. Thanks for holding on, Susan.
Sure. No, all I wanted to say is I just don't think people in America are taking seriously enough what is taking place. I don't think they pay attention. They don't listen.
I think for the most part, you're right. Most people are just, they're either struggling, trying to find a job, or worried about the end of the one they have now, or how they're going to pay bills, or take care of the kids, or where they're going to find health insurance. I think you're right.
Well, you're right about that, Mike, but I deal, I'm a poor artist over here,
mm-hmm.
but I deal with people who have a lot of money, and as customers, they're
right.
customers. They're not, and they do not want to hear about that. They don't want to listen. They don't. They just laugh and say, I told one of them, okay, and I've told you about my friend before who
mm-hmm.
makes $1 million a year. She doesn't earn it. She makes it.
Right, I hear that.
Okay. And the other one says, oh, well, she's going to get that tax cut because she earns that money every year.
Well, see, people in I understand you deal with some wealthy people who obviously come to buy your art. They are not tuned in to what.
No, and they don't want to be tuned in.
No,
don't want to hear it.
But it doesn't affect them.
No,
people in this country by top 10%. I mean, affects them. They are part of the problem, not the solution.
Exactly.
And they're not going to stand there in your studio and say, "Well, Susan, you're right. It's partly my fault because I support this bastard, but I'm very content with my huge income. So listen, Susan, just do me some art. I need something for over the couch."
You're exactly right. There you go. Decorator art. We call it decorator art.
Right.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I've got this space, Susan. It's about 8 feet by 3 feet.
What colors do you want?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, oh, my
okay.
God. I
understand what you're saying, yeah. But the people that you're talking about couldn't care less because none of this affects them.
No, it doesn't.
It just, they skim across the top, and folks down here in the vast middle and the bottom, we can go pound sand.
Well, hey. I just want people to be aware and to wake up. Hello.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to wake people up, and that's the sound of locking and loading.
Hey, it's all around.
When you hear that shell slide into the chamber, that usually gets people's attention. Hey, thanks, Susan. Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
that, Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as I wasn't expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Saudi Crown Prince Abdullah has condemned the attacks in his country that killed dozens of people. He says the terrorists who carried out the suicide car bomb attacks in Riyadh overnight are criminals. Abdullah says they don't have any values or humanity, and all they thirst for is blood. Abdullah says the terrorists are dreaming if they think they can shake the security of the country. He urges the Saudi people to protect their country against more attacks. Emergency workers are getting some newfound respect from people who rely on them for safety during terrorist attacks. People in Seattle have been watching emergency crews at work during a 5-day anti-terror drill. Resident Harold Webb, who watched events unfold during the exercise, says he never realized just how much work goes into saving lives.
They have to perform their jobs, and that's why they're the heroes of the United States. So, yeah, watching them do their thing and have an opportunity to practice it's a great opportunity.
Fire and police personnel in New York found out shortly after the 9/11 attacks that residents in the city had newfound respect for them. The mock anti-terrorist drill is also taking place in Chicago.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 2-6158. That's 1-800-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Proceedings in the Texas legislature have come to a halt after more than 50 Democratic lawmakers failed to show up for work yesterday. The lawmakers have reportedly been holed up in a Holiday Inn in Oklahoma in an attempt to protest proposed legislation by Republicans. Democratic legislators are upset about a congressional redistricting map they believe would give the Republican Party more power. Without a quorum, lawmakers cannot vote on the redistricting plan opposed by Democrats. The Hudson Institute has broken with tradition to honor Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld as the recipient of the 13th Annual Doolittle Award. It's the first time a seated member of any president's cabinet has received the award. Vice President Dick Cheney had the honor of bestowing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld with the General Doolittle Award. Rumsfeld gave thanks to the Institute and Cheney for the award.
Members of the Institute, I thank you for this fine award. Mr. Vice President, I thank you for your kind words, your friendship, your good humor, and most of all, I thank you for your truly superb service and leadership to our country.
Cheney was the 1998 Doolittle Award winner. He says it was a special privilege to be asked to speak at the event in honor of someone he once considered probably the toughest boss he ever had. Cheney says Rumsfeld had a huge impact on his life even before he developed what the vice president jokingly referred to as his suave, smooth, warm, fuzzy style.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Teachers and parents at schools around New York City protested before class this morning, upset with Mayor Michael Bloomberg's layoffs. Teacher Union President Randy Weingarten walked with teachers at PS 135 in Queens.
If we are trying to get every single child to higher and higher academic standards as quickly as possible, that means we need in schools to have lower class size, qualified teachers.
Bloomberg has sent out pink slips to 800 teachers' aides as part of the effort to close the city's $3 billion budget gap. Lawmakers in Albany will vote on the funding for New York City schools next week. The terrorist attacks in Saudi Arabia overnight, along with a negative call on chip shares by Merrill Lynch, led stocks lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 48 points to 86.79. The Nasdaq slid 2 points to 1540, and the S&P 500 was down 3 to 942. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? Back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Got a couple of complaints here from folks who are hearing a reverb on the program as they listen on the internet. It's kind of like beyond our control. We have a net streaming company in Detroit, and obviously this hour of the night, they just go home, and we just don't maintain enough staff at IE America to handle a problem like that. So I apologize for the reverb. I wish there was something we could do, and there isn't. And hopefully it'll be gone tomorrow. Okay? Now, before we come back to your... Let's go back to the phone calls, because Melanie is calling in from Houston, Texas, and I bet you're calling in about that Texas Democrat story, right?
I am. Mike, I'm so proud of these guys.
Me too. You talk about an act of resistance. It's just amazing to me that 53 Democrats in the Texas legislature were able to organize and get the hell out of town.
I know. And it's that feeling like it's about time they grew some cojones, you know?
I hear that. too bad that Daschle and Gephardt and the Democrats in Washington won't take similar action.
Well, maybe it'll spread.
That would definitely be a good thing. But
yeah,
you know what
would.
What you people are facing in Texas is just astonishing to me.
It's unreal. It really is. It's very scary.
I would think anybody living in Texas, I guess I would start at the bottom of the food chain, people who are old and disabled, or
or hurting some way or another, or children, or,
yes.
or people on Medicaid, state Medicaid, kids who are relying on the CHIPS program. You know, you start down there and slash and burn because, you know, the kids aren't going to organize. The old folks aren't going to organize.
Right.
The Medicaid recipients aren't going to organize. So you treat them like the Bush crime family treats our soldiers, like
right.
so much debris to just sweep up and get out of the way after you use them.
Right. Well, I have two sisters who are teachers and two cousins who are teachers, and I know how my two sisters feel about it. I'm curious as to how the two cousins feel about it because they're actually Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be real interesting to talk to them right now and find out their feelings about all this. What I really wanted to say is I know that there are quite a few Texas listeners that I've heard recently since the show moved to nighttime.
Uh-huh.
And I want to encourage them, everybody, call these dissident senators, representatives, encourage them, let them know that, you know, they're doing a good thing, send them faxes. Tomorrow I'm calling the Holiday Inn in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and leaving a message for them right there.
That's a good idea.
I just want them to know, you know, stay out as long as it takes.
Uh-huh.
And if they come to arrest them, I hope they do. In a way, because I think that will bring more attention to it.
Well, it would be a hell of an act of disrespect for the sovereignty of the various states to have Texas law enforcement going to Oklahoma to arrest somebody.
Right, but you know the what's his name, Craddock,
right,
is going trying to figure out how to do it federally. He has appealed to the federal government to step in.
Well, that would be Ashcroft's Justice Department.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
Isn't that lovely?
Well, we may see another a version of the Alamo, only with everything reversed. We all know that the Alamo was not one of the most glorious parts of our history. I mean, the mythology is glorious, but we understand that it wasn't the most glorious. But maybe this would be like a reverse Alamo where people really are standing up for something that is worth standing up for, and,
mm-hmm.
and just give the old familiar middle finger to Mr. Craddock, who runs the Texas legislature.
Right. I'm loving it.
I just can't wait. Now Thursday, day after tomorrow, is the final day of your session, the General Assembly session this year, right?
Right.
So now here in Georgia, which is also run by a pack of crazed hyenas, Republicans, they try all kinds of tricks. They extend. See, by law, we're only supposed to have our legislature in session for 40 days. The theory being that they can do an awful lot of damage in less time than that, so limit them to 40 days. But what they did, this was the longest session in the history of the Georgia General Assembly, and now that we have Republican-controlled House and a Republican governor, they just mess with the clock. They just say, well, this day doesn't count because of yada yada. Can you do that in Texas?
Not that I know of.
So Thursday is a hard deadline then?
But as far as I know, it's a hard deadline,
uh-huh.
according to what I read in the local paper. I was actually quite surprised that the Chronicle covered it.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that they did, I'm not going to say they gave it a real positive spin, but it was not negative.
The exodus of the Democrats,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Houston Chronicle and the Dallas Morning News, you know, they're kind of get along, go along. You have to go to the Austin Statesman to get, an anti-Republican slant. I think, unless the Statesman, I don't think the Austin Statesman has changed. I think they are still a progressive newspaper, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't read that paper. I guess I need to start reading it.
You can always get it online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, great show. Keep it up.
Melanie, thanks for checking in.
All right.
All right, you take care. By the way, talking about making phone calls, I got this earlier tonight, and you have to know about this, and it requires writing down a phone number. It's a toll-free number. It's this phone number I'm going to give you is paid for by the AFL-CIO, and it's a call to call Washington. Call your senators. It's the no tax breaks for millionaires, protect our priorities, which are, should be education, health care, the environment, Social Security, and jobs. Now, tomorrow, There's going to be a nationwide effort to call your senator and tell them no tax breaks for millionaires. This has to do with this crappy-ass Bush budget buster. Well, forget that. What am I talking about? He doesn't have a budget. Driving this economy even further away from the surpluses and balanced budget that Bill Clinton left this group of Nazis. So there is something you can do. There's a phone number here, and it's a toll-free number. And like I said, the calls are paid for by the umbrella organization of organized labor in this country, the AFL-CIO. And if you want to write this down, it's 888-280-6279. That's 888-280-6279. Now, when you call that number, that's the Capital switchboard. It's toll-free. Ask for your senator by name, and the switchboard operator will patch you through to their office. When you reach your senator's office, ask to leave a message for the senator. And, you know, be polite, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if being polite means anything anymore. But the phone number, again, is 888-280-6279. And this is sponsored by, among other organizations, MoveOn.org. So if you didn't write down the number, just go to MoveOn.org. Go to their website and check it out. There's another one, OurFuture.org. And then there's a third website, Fair Taxes, and then the numeral 4, All. Fair Taxes for All. The 4 is the numeral, .org. So any one of those three websites, or just call 888-280-6279 and try to stop this disaster that Bush is trying to ram through with the neo-fascists in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. They're Democrats supporting this. Could you believe this? So just, you know, if we all put in our 2 cents worth, I will definitely do this. Usually when I put out one of these numbers and then I try to call, I get a busy signal, but I keep trying. And the number again is 888-280-6279. Or go to MoveOn.org and get more information. Okay? Yeah, please do it. Kathy is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Remember the Alamo. I'm so proud of our Texas Democrats. You know, I work hard in the party down here, and let me tell you, this is just, they've been ramrodding. I mean, it wasn't just the redistricting.
Right.
They've been pulling the old Washington no debate, no, I mean, when the Democrats might as well leave, because it didn't matter if they were there. They had them there to give them credibility for the votes to pass, but when they did the redistricting hearings, uh-huh. They did it on election day here so that nobody would attend, and then they did it at night, and you know, you'd have
right.
to find out where, because there were a bunch of us trying to, you know, show up, and then they wouldn't let us talk.
Well, they can't do squat without a quorum, and with these 53 Democrats gone, it's my understanding of you got 150 members of the legislature,
right.
You need 100 for two-thirds for a quorum.
But they were not following the rules in place. Just for the regular, you have to have public hearing and let so the people can know.
What, the Republicans? Well, of course.
Right,
yeah.
Down here in Texas.
Oh, hell no. They're not going to have public hearings. What, and do the people's business where the people can see what the business really is? No.
And the Democrats, we've been the majority down here, and we've always done that. We've always accommodated it.
How did the Republicans get control of your state, Kathy?
The federal judges changed the districting, and they were 2 Republicans, 1 Dem.
Yeah,
and it's been eating away because they use the judges
mm-hmm.
to draw these maps, and each time they gain a little. They gain a little.
Well, Texas Democrats are showing that they have some courage and some spine and some backbone, unlike, you'll excuse me, please, the National Democrats. Do you think that the Texas Democrats are setting an example? Do you think that maybe Gephardt or Daschle or some of these people will take a look at what's happening in Texas and say, gee, there's some Texans down there, some Democrats, imagine that, who are saying hell
Bush
no.
Bush country.
Yeah, in Bush country, do you think the National Democrats are going to pick up on this, Kathy?
I think if it gets more, I think the thing is to keep the message out there. I'd like to see, like, other states go, check their charters. Georgia.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
betting.
Yeah.
See, they could do something similar.
Yeah, we live in hell here in Georgia. We used to call this the buckle of the Bible Belt, but I'll tell you what, the pants are down around the ankles right now. This state is in a mess, but I'll tell you what, we got our third state flag. And it's the old pre-1956 Confederate flag. We got rid of the stars and bars because, oh, I don't know, it seems like about 30-40% of the population here was offended by that flag. But that's what old Sonny Perdue has done here in Georgia. We don't have, like, Rick Goodhair Perry. We have a country bumpkin that looks like he just fell off of a tobacco truck as governor now. It's just amazing.
The thing
amazing.
Is to put the spotlight on it. Now, you get to, it's hard, as you know, to get the media, but this, us getting the media and making it such an event, that gives me hope because that makes people think, you know, we can do something.
Yeah.
And also become aware of what they've been doing down here. I mean, these other things they've been trying to ram through have been pretty bad. I mean, they cut 250,000 children off the CHIPS
right.
program.
Yeah,
it's just been brutal. And we haven't been able to get any press down here, and we've been doing our little letter writing, and that's another thing.
Let me put you on hold for just a second, Kathy, because we've got a break coming real quick, and we'll come back and finish this up. Stay with us. We're at 800 Talk Yes, by the way. I'm Mike Malloy.
Stand up for your right.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 24 past the hour. And we're talking with Kathy in Dallas, Texas. So we're hoping that National Democrats will pick up on what Texas Democrats are doing. Now, you also wanted to talk about the Saudi bombing, I think, right?
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out what's going on over there. Is Osama? I mean, are we going after Saudi Arabia now?
Well, if you want my take on it, the blood of all these people, including I guess the figure so far is 10 dead Americans. That blood, like the blood of the 147 Americans killed in Iraq and God knows how many Iraqis, that's all in George Bush's hands. Look. We were attacked in this country on September 11, 2001,
by Saudi Arabians, yes.
Well, by Saudis, but if you believe the received wisdom, Al-Qaeda terror cells were the ones that did it. So what do? We bomb the bejesus out of Afghanistan and don't stop the Al-Qaeda terror cells, and then we attack Iraq that has nothing whatsoever to do with the people who attacked this country. Nothing. So in the meantime, the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or Osama or Mullah Muhammad Omar or whoever the hell it is that finds sport in killing Americans had a chance to regroup, refinance, reestablish while stupid...
Maybe with...
While stupid George Bush and this crime family are blowing the Christ out of and the Allah and everything else out of Iraq. Now, I'm trying to get through tonight without just losing it. But when I heard about the Saudi bombing, obviously a terror act. I say obviously with one caveat. I wouldn't be surprised if the CIA were behind it. But let's assume that it is what it appears to be, a terrorist attack against American interests there. The fact that Saudis were killed, too, it raises nothing but total indifference to the people who caused the bombing. The target was the Americans.
And in Chechnya, I heard they had a bombing.
Well, that's another allegedly hotbed of so-called terrorist activity. But you have to understand about the Chechens. They have been brutalized by the Soviets, by the Russians, for what? The past, 200 years, 300 years, but especially in the past 30 years. The number of civilian dead in Chechnya is nobody knows. The Russians have just decided to pound that state, province, country, ethnic group, whatever you want to call them, until there's nobody left standing. So it's not just the Bush crime family involved in this kind of activity. The Russian crime family, the Chinese crime family, the British crime family. It's just that the only one that we used to think we had some influence on was our form of government. And I think we've lost that. So the bombing in Saudi Arabia, I think, is Osama or Al-Qaeda saying, yo, remember us? Go ahead, attack North Korea next. We're going to continue to do what we're going to do, and that is continue to kill Americans until you stupid bastards track us down. And, the whole thing after 9/11, Kathy, should have been an international effort at hardcore policing. Find these thugs just like you would find a murderer.
murderer in Chicago or Atlanta or New York City. Find them, bring them to justice. But the Bush crime family saw this as an opportunity to take over the Iraqi oil wells. And I, it's just disgusting. I think I hate them more for that than for anything else. We're not safer than we were prior to 9/11. We're at more risk now. All this stuff about the Patriot Act and Homeland Security, it's a joke. It's worse than a joke. So that's what I think about that.
Well, yeah, and that's why I asked, because it seems like that is probably where we should have gone to begin with. And I would just, and I don't know any of this, but they can't find Saddam Hussein, but
they can't find anybody.
You know, he probably, if anything, said, "Hello, Osama. Here's some money, and if the weapons are gone, I think I know where they went.
Well,
if they were there to begin
well,
with."
Well, I think it's established though that Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein hate each other because Osama bin Laden is a religious freak. And
yeah, but they hate America more. I mean,
well, I know the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I understand that. Hey, listen, thanks,
okay.
Kathy. I appreciate you checking in.
Always.
All right. You take care.
Okay.
Bye.
We don't know what's gone wrong. We're getting where we've come from. And all of this violence is coming.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 300 workers at a plastics factory in Omaha, Nebraska, got a visit from President Bush yesterday. The visit was part of the president's three-day trip around the country to stump for his half-trillion-dollar tax cut. But Bush's visit to Airlite Plastics ended up costing the workers. They've been told they won't be paid for the time spent listening to Bush's speech, as they weren't making plastic. Factory managers say the workers can either make up the lost wages by working on Saturday or forfeit the day's pay.
Corporations that commit crimes in California could soon face the same fate as criminals who are repeat offenders. A tough new bill authored by State Senator Gloria Romero of Los Angeles would extend the state's three strikes and you're out policy to corporations. The bill recently cleared committee and is expected to sail through the full Senate later this month.
France is at a standstill today as more than a million public sector workers strike to show their dismay with government pension reform plans. The country's airports and public transportation are all but shut down. Schools are closed. There is no mail delivery, and government offices are shuttered. The walkout is in protest of plans to raise the retirement age, which the government claims is necessary to offset a multi-billion-dollar shortfall in the national pension program.
Employees of the Stanley Works Corporation in New Britain, Connecticut, have downed tools to protest their company's latest contract offer. The toolmaker employs more workers as subcontractors than as regular employees, and they say they'll stay off the job until they win protection against outsourcing to overseas operations in Mexico, Thailand, and China. At its height, Stanley Works employed some 10,000 workers in New Britain. Now only hundreds remain. The company got in trouble last year after its board of directors tried to dodge federal taxes by reincorporating in Bermuda. A union campaign and congressional hearings into tax shelters reversed those plans.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, Senator Bob Graham, day before yesterday, accused the Bush administration of engaging in a cover-up of intelligence failures before and after September 11th. Graham said the war with Iraq has allowed al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups to become a greater threat to Americans than ever before. Well, I guess the proof is in the pudding, not to minimize this kind of activity, but look what happened in Saudi Arabia yesterday. Graham is, of course, Democrat, presidential candidate, former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He also accused the Bush crime family of jeopardizing the safety of Americans by blocking the release of the congressional report on the government failures, the Bush government failures that preceded the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. This reported in the LA Times, Graham said the White House has withheld from the public important information about the continued existence of terrorist cells in the U.S., including some with ties to foreign governments that the U.S. has been afraid to go after. Gee, gosh, I wonder who that could be. Couldn't be Saudi Arabia, could it? No. Now, his remarks on Sunday on Face the Nation, that was the first time Graham has publicly accused the White House of trying to cover up what they're trying to cover up. Of course, he didn't go far enough. You know, Graham's not a fool. He knows he has to travel around in those little campaign airplanes for a while, and he doesn't want to have his wings ice up for no particular reason, you know, especially in Florida. But Graham, I just wish one of these Democratic presidential candidates... No, let me rephrase it. I wish there was a single Democratic leader, actual or wannabe, in this country who would call the cameras together and say, look, I've got an important announcement to make. I charged George W. Bush and his entire cabinet with treason. Oh, that just doesn't that just sound so, oh, treason? Jesus, Malloy, what are you talking about? I charged him with treason. And I'm going to introduce articles of impeachment to get these thugs out of office. So while I can appreciate Graham's toe dancing, his you know, Graham is another one of these pink tutu Democrats. I'm sorry, he is. He just is. Okay? Can you see Bob Graham walking out of the Senate and saying, to hell with this, the way Texas Democrats have done? No, I don't think so. But just one, okay? Is there not just one Democrat in this country in a leadership position who will call this Bush crime cabal what it is and make an effort to remove them from office, for God's sake? You can't lie about sex with your girlfriend. You'll get impeached. But you can lie about war and death and destruction, and you'll be called a hero. What the hell is going on? So, Bob Graham, your little mousy comments about, well, it's a cover-up of intelligence failures. Blow it out your butt, buddy. Why don't you take your position as a candidate to be the Democratic nominee for president and call these bastards what they are? They are treasonous. And it happened in your state, Bob. See, I try to do this calmly and just say, well, Bob Graham says that 400,000 pages of material would not be released because, you know, Karl Rove says, snicker, snicker, wink, wink, it'll jeopardize national security. I try to be sympathetic to Senator Graham. But it's just like, you know, it's just like when you have a repressed people. When somebody starts talking about freedom, that's when the stampede begins. The stampede never begins when the people are repressed. It's when somebody says, look, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
So when Bob Graham says, look, you know, the Bush administration is withholding a lot of stuff, I just lose it. I just completely lose it. I should not do those stories. I should just, you know, accept what everybody in this country has accepted, apparently. And that includes you. That includes you. And that is that the truth of what happened in this country to your grandkids, maybe sometime, 60, 70, 80 years from now, it might come out. So I'll tell you what, Senator Graham, keep fighting the good fight, buddy, but yours truly here is not the least bit impressed with your weaselly little statements. Call it what it is or stay the hell away from the topic. Wouldn't that be fair? Mark is calling from Pensacola, Florida. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mark.
Congratulations on the fine piece on you today in Salon.
Yeah, that was a nice piece. It's kind of weird to read about oneself. It's a little bit scary, but I thought the writer Sam Friedman did a very fair and balanced, if I could coin a phrase, job. And it was, like I say, it's a little spooky. It's one thing to sit here and do radio every night because it just kind of floats out into the ether. But when somebody writes about you, it's there forever.
That's right.
You know, but yeah, I thought it was a good piece. When I read it, I just thought, gosh, hey, this is pretty good. I think I'll tune in and listen to this guy.
Hey, you look a heck of a lot better than that picture of Rush, too. So.
Well, you know where that picture was taken? I don't know where Salon got that off the Internet. That was taken at a poetry slam in Chicago about 4 years ago when I was up on the stage either reading some poetry that I had written or putting into a poetic frame hate mail that I had gotten from listeners who thought I was the devil incarnate. I think it was the hate mail thing. I had them rolling on the floors that night. It was just funny as hell because I just took these letters, not emails, but real letters that people had written in. You son of a bitch, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to... It's just crazy people writing in really weird stuff. And what's his name that runs the Mark Smith, who, in my opinion, invented the poetry slam at the Green Mill there on Broadway Street in Chicago. I went in to see him. Well, I had met him and had read some of my, you know, not very good poetry. But I went in to see him and I said, look, I've got all these letters and they are really, really psycho stuff. I mean, this is crazed, off the wall, bad acid stuff. And he said, well, put it in poetic form and come on in and read it. And I did. And, man, it was one hell of a night. People were just choking. They were laughing so hard. And that's where that picture was taken.
I wish you'd post it on your website. I'd love to see it.
You know, all that stuff is gone now. I don't know what we did with it. When I left Chicago, I really didn't think I was going to go back into radio. I just came back to Atlanta to go back to work for CNN, just said to hell with it. But all that stuff is gone. But that was back. And believe it or not, you know, there was a time when people did not use email as much as we do now. It was only 5 years ago.
I know.
You know?
Hey, I just put in a plug for a great book I just read, Reefer Madness.
Oh, yeah. I just bought it. I haven't cracked it open yet, but that was written by the same guy that wrote Fast Food Nation. Right.
Right? It's wonderful.
And I'm getting ready to read it. I'm going to start reading it on we're flying to New York on Thursday, and since I am just absolutely chokingly terrified of flying, I'm going to take the book along and read it and hope the plane doesn't crash.
Well, good luck. I just took the train up with my boys to New York, and... We didn't do the sleeper car, so they wanted to fly back by the time we got up there.
Oh, it's a bad train trip. That we have a train that goes from Atlanta all the way to Boston, but it's just too far. So I just decided, look, you know, it's time to just go ahead and fly again. It's been a while since I've flown. And I'm halfway convinced that, you know, Thursday night or Wednesday night will be my last program for all eternity.
Shoot. Oh, didn't let it fly. Didn't let it fly.
Yeah, well, whatever's fair, you know.
Well, congratulations again.
Well,
man.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you checking in. That was it was fun to be interviewed like that and talk with the guy who wrote it is a professor of journalism at Columbia. And real nice man, and it was just an awful lot of fun to do that. But like I said, it's a little spooky when you see a piece written about you. It's like, God, no place to run, no place to hide. Thanks, Mark.
All right, bud. Thanks.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah. Where are we? Nancy is calling from East Tennessee. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Boy, this is Woman's Night tonight.
Well, I'll be sure and listen tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not your last program.
Oh, no, I'm just...
I don't fly anymore.
I'm just kidding. No, I've got to because, there's just too many places I want to go. And it's been a number of years. I was on a real bad flight and just had the bejesus scared out of me, but...
I did, too, flying from New York. When we landed in Nashville, all the oxygen masks came down and the plane kind of cracked apart. And they took everybody off and they said... They announced over the thing that we're going to
crash.
Everybody has to depart the plane because we're going to put new equipment in service.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing on the old equipment?
Yeah, well,
you know, we were 45 minutes late coming in.
Oh,
we were
God.
Losing power.
Oh,
the
no.
whole trip.
Oh, God.
I haven't flown since.
Well, I don't need to hear this.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I really shouldn't have said that, should I?
No, that's all right. It's okay.
I wrote down the number.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the call tomorrow, but I will be leaving a message for Frist, so I doubt that it will make an impact.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck over there in Tennessee with Bill Frist as.
In the spooky part of Tennessee.
Yeah. Okay. In the spooky part of Tennessee.
That's where, yeah, I'm in the spooky part of Tennessee.
You're where all those hollers are, right?
Those,
those hills and hollers.
Yeah,
and
I can't tell you what I do. Have to kill you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know.
I've been listening for a while, and I was listening to the gentleman talk about Hillary.
Yeah.
And she was a Goldwater Republican.
Yeah.
Before she met Bill.
Yeah, she worked for Goldwater.
She worked for him.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, so, sometimes, they don't change their spots.
That's right.
But I'm so proud of these Democrats in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can we do? You know, I mean, I wish everybody in America tomorrow would send them something to Ardmore, Oklahoma. flowers, pizzas.
Cheese sandwich, anything.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah, pimento cheese.
And then, it would be big enough that the media would have to say something about it, and maybe the Dems in Washington
right.
would, understand that we're starving out here for Democrats to be Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, but
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, though.
Well, I mean, it's just damn near a miracle that 53 Democrats are on the same page.
Well, these are Texas Democrats, and I'll tell you what, they are tired of having their faces slapped. They're tired of having their ass handed to them by these fake Republicans who are really neo-Nazis. And
oh, exactly. And what is Tom DeLay doing running the state? Why is he getting away with this?
Because he's Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay, the bug man. Nobody wants to cross Tom DeLay in Texas. They might be exterminated.
I loved the quote from the Attorney General in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Patricia Madrid. Did you hear what she said?
Yeah. She said, I'm not going to put out a warrant for Democrats who are trying to take care of old people and children.
You want to hear the quote? It's wonderful.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rick Perry had asked whether New Mexico would allow Texas officials to be arrested in her state.
Right.
And this is what she said. She said, some are speculating this request from the Texas governor's office concerns an effort to locate missing Texas House Democrats. If so, Texas should understand that since ski season is over, the Santa Fe Opera has not begun, and President Bush was just in town, I don't think they are in Santa Fe now. Nevertheless, I have put out an all-points bulletin for law enforcement to be on the lookout for politicians in favor of health care for the needy and against tax cuts for the wealthy.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was just...
It's a great statement. It's a great statement. I'm not surprised that it comes from a public official in New Mexico. They've got cojones in New Mexico.
Well, God bless her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those Democrats. You know, it's just...
Yeah, I like your idea of sending them something, a pimento cheese sandwich, a bowl of grits.
Send a pizza. Send a yellow rose. Yellow rose of Texas. I mean, everybody send a yellow rose.
That's a
to
good
the Holiday Inn in Ardmore, Oklahoma. I mean, what can it be? It's another, 10, 12 bucks on your credit card. So what?
And there's only one Holiday Inn in Ardmore, Oklahoma, right?
Of course.
Absolutely.
So I think that would be great.
Hey,
and as far as Democrats in Washington, I think our best chance, the only ones who don't seem to be completely, totally silenced by these Republicans
uh-huh.
is probably the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, the Rangels and the Conyers and the Waters. And
don't forget Dennis Kucinich.
And Dennis Kucinich.
And
exactly.
To some extent, Howard Dean.
And to some extent, Howard Dean. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. The biggest obstacle we're going to have in 04 is beating the machine.
That's it. Beating the...
I voted on one.
So did
and
I. So
I
did
don't
I.
know if I voted or not.
I have
never felt like I did.
We had him in every single precinct in the state of Georgia of the last election, and that was the election.
Yeah, and that was they did that last minute reprogram on those too, didn't they?
They did, and yeah. That was the election that we got two hillbillies in place of two good politicians. We got a hillbilly governor. And no offense to real hillbillies. These are fake hillbillies.
Right.
We got a hillbilly governor, and we got a hillbilly senator. And they are just dumber than mud. I've got a fish in the freezer with higher IQ than these people.
And, you know, all the exit polls, those were disbanded,
said
there's no way Max Cleland lost.
Right.
No way.
Right. I hear you.
But he did.
He did indeed. Nancy, thank you for checking in.
Okay.
All right. You have a nice evening.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mark is calling from New York. Hey, Mark. Wait a minute. You're some bureau chief. What are you?
Yeah, the upstate New York. The slightly upstate New York.
There you go. Slightly upstate New York bureau chief.
I want to beat my dead horse only for a second. The question you were asking before when you were getting all riled up about the Democrats in leadership positions.
Yeah.
The answer is no, there are no Democrats in leadership positions who would take a stand like that, because if they would, they wouldn't be in a leadership position in the first place.
It's just kind of like a dog chasing its tail is what you're saying.
Exactly. Chomsky used to say about people in mainstream media who were very popular mainstream media figures, and he said those people would always say, well, you know, nobody tells me what to write, and he said that's absolutely right. Nobody has to tell them what to write, because they wouldn't be in that position if somebody had to.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
All right, sir. Quick break. We'll be back.
Based on everything I've seen, I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th.
Strong enough to be my man. Are you strong enough to be my man? Are you strong enough?
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now. 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Ethan is calling from Tucson, Arizona. Ethan, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Sure is, yeah. I just found out about you, actually, through that Salon article. So I have to say again, that was a really good piece.
Yeah, it was. Well, welcome aboard. Glad you found the program. Glad you called in.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, you know, I was hoping maybe you could help me settle a debate with my pal, or at least give me grist for my mill, I suspect. But, you know, rigged voting machines and courts aside and whatever, the last election was pretty close, right, by any reckoning. And so, like, what's the best option for the Democrats to do? Should they pull towards the center? Should they field someone like Wesley Clark?
Well,
or should they pull towards the left, right, and try to get the Greens who voted against them last time and get the people who didn't bother to vote last time, et cetera?
Yeah, this is an ongoing theme on this program, Ethan. We've talked about it so many times, and I don't mean to say that like, gee, where have you been? But very quickly, in a sentence or two, the Democratic Party has to become the Democratic Party again. I think what's necessary is, first of all, get rid of Terry McAuliffe, who is the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, because he is a DLC Democrat. Now, so was Clinton, so was Gore.
Right.
And you can make a strong case that the DLC Democrats worked for 8 years. But what we have in place in this country now is, in my opinion, a neo-fascist regime. And I think people have been so turned off. This last election, last November, the off-year elections, practically every Democrat I saw running for re-election or election tried to tie himself to the Republican Party coattails or George Bush's coattails. And I think the public said, well, to hell with it. If you're a Republican light, why would I vote for you? I'll just vote Republican. So I think a lot of people stayed home.
Yeah.
I think the Democrats have got to go back to their core constituency. which is everybody in this country who is in the so-called middle class or the so-called working class, people who work for a living, people who have children in public school, people who have aging parents that they may be taking care of, people who are thinking about retiring, people who have a few bucks invested in their real estate or a retirement plan at the company they used to work for. Yeah. That so-called minorities, women voters, young voters, I think people have got to come back. People who say they're Democrats are demanding, I think, that the Democratic Party go back to its roots. The Republicans are on the same page. They have been since Newt Gingrich, and they're going to stay there. Hey, listen, Ethan, we're flat out of time. I hope you call again. I'm sorry to give you such a quick answer. We're just flat out of time tonight.
No worries. It's good to hear you, man.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. I do hope you call again. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. U.S. terrorism experts, including FBI agents, are heading to the capital of Saudi Arabia to help in the probe of the overnight suicide bombings that killed several Americans and scores of others. State Department spokesman Phil Reeker calls this a time of sorrow and grief.
This was clearly a well-planned terrorist attack. It had all the fingerprints, earmarks of Al-Qaeda, but of course a final determination in this attack of who is responsible will depend upon the results of the ongoing investigation.
The U.S. blames Al-Qaeda for the 9/11 terrorist attacks on New York City and the Pentagon. Earlier, President Bush said about half of Al-Qaeda's top operatives have been captured or killed, and he said the hunt for the rest goes on. Speaking in Indianapolis, Bush called the bombings a despicable and ruthless reminder that the war on terror continues around the world. The United States has expelled 14 Cuban diplomats based at the United Nations and in Washington, accusing them of spying. The move is the latest in a series of actions by the U.S. following a recent crackdown on dissidents by the island's communist government.